Okay, the topic this afternoon will be that of our first parents and original sin. Very important topic. So you all have your worksheet and your pencils? Yeah. Good, let's start. Topic, our first parents and original sin. God created everything out of love, especially for us men and women. After creating the sea and sky, the mountains and immense sea, and all that swims in it, after creating the plants and the animals, God finally created both man and woman. The name of the first parents created in the image and likeness of God were Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve. They were our first parents. And in fact, Adam and Eve were and are the first parents of all of the people that would follow, including you and me, our first parents. Adam and Eve were different from the rest of creation, and in many ways. First, they had an immortal soul. Next, they were endowed with an intellect to know the truth. They were endowed with a will to choose between good and bad, or good and evil, right and wrong. God gave both of them freedom. This is called free will. In other words, they're not like a mechanical robot. Love and freedom. God loved Adam and Eve with an infinite and limitless love, as he does you and me. However, God wanted both Adam and Eve to love him back. This so-called love for God meant that they had to be tested by the use of their free will. The test. What was the test? I think you know what it was. What was the test that Adam and Eve had to pass? Very simple. God had created many things, and all were simple, were beautiful and perfect. Also, God created many trees with delicious fruits hanging from them. Both Adam and Eve could eat from all of the trees in the Garden of Eden except for the tree in the middle of the garden called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The failure. Despite God's love for Adam and Eve and his warning not to eat from that forbidden fruit, Eve was tempted to eat by the serpent underneath the tree. Eve did not listen to God, but to the devil. That serpent was really the devil. She sinned by disobeying God. Okay, original sin. Original sin. Now this sin that Eve committed was called the original sin. This means that it was the first sin committed by a human person. You know, the first sin that was committed was by the angels. We already talked about that when Satan or Lucifer disobeyed God. But the first sin committed by human persons was a sin committed by Adam and Eve called original sin. The social effect of sin. Eve shared the forbidden fruit with her husband Adam, and he also ate from it. Adam also is responsible for committing original sin. Eve ate and passed it on to Adam. This is called the social effect of sin. This means that our sins affect others. The effects of the sin on the world. Due to the original sin committed by our first parents, Adam and Eve, the world was drastically changed. The human person also was drastically changed. The original sin was like a tsunami. Never heard the word tsunami, you guys? What's a tsunami? You know what a tsunami is?
It's like a big wave. the ocean that comes on the land.
Yeah. So there was one that happened in Japan about 5 years ago, in India about 10 years ago. The one in India that hit about 300,000 people, like a huge wave. They can actually engulf a whole town. That's what a tsunami is. So I've written that this can be compared to a moral tsunami. Tsunami that would affect the whole world until the end of time. But God brings good out of evil. God can bring good out of evil. Very important, consoling point is the following. God allows evil to bring good out of it. Looking at our lives, we can see this if we replay the film of our lives. God allowed Adam and Eve to sin, original sin. However, due to original sin, God sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, to the world to show us how to live, to teach us to love us so much that He died on the cross and rose from the dead so that we would be saved and be able to go to heaven. How intelligent and loving God the Father is towards us all and all of humanity. Questions to respond to on the topic of Adam and Eve and the original sin. Okay, so who were the first persons, the first person God created in the world? They were, who was the first man was?
Adam.
And the first woman?
Eve.
Okay, let's see if we can understand, if you go to the Hebrew, what do these words mean? What is the etymology that means? What's the meaning of these words? Adam actually means, what do you think? It's two options. What do you think? Taken from the earth. That's what it means. Adam means taken from the earth. And obviously Eve means the mother of all the living. That's why Eve is the universal mother of all people who have lived. And Adam would be the father of all humanity. Okay, next. How were they different than all the other elements of creation? Adam and Eve both had immortal souls. And immortal souls. And we have an immortal soul. The moment of our conception, God infused an immortal soul within us. The moment of our conception. They were also endowed with a mind that could reason, understand, with imagination and creativity. Furthermore, they were gifted with, we already read it two times in the intro, they were gifted with free will. So we're not robots, we have free will. We're not like a cat or a dog that follow instincts. We have the ability to choose between good and bad. That's called free will. And so it's to choose between good and bad or good and evil. Number three, love demands freedom and how were they tested? They were tested by God in this one commandment. Like we've got 10 commandments that we have to obey, right? We just had to obey one little order. Not that much. I've often thought we've got to jump many more hoops than they did. I think it's kind of like a piece of cake. Well, I'm going to say an apple, but a piece of cake. Pretty easy what God really asks. If you kind of look at it objectively, what was it? I think it was pretty easy. The God created this garden with these plants and with these trees, maybe thousands. But He said, okay, there's a tree in the middle of the garden. It's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You can't eat from that one. Didn't seem overly difficult. I mean, there were thousands of other trees, and maybe other trees had even better fruit. Right? So it wasn't overly difficult. We've got to, you know, we've got to obey the Ten Commandments. They're sometimes pretty hard. And we actually fall. We get up, we go to confession. We just had to obey that one simple commandment. So let's try to study the fall of Adam and Eve. And it was, number three, command was not to eat the fruit from the tree. Write that in there. Not to eat the tree, the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden. It was known as the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So let's picture the scene. Who was the first to be tempted?
Eve.
It was Eve. So she stood under the tree. That says a lot. I think there's a lot we can really derive from where Eve was and what she did. By being close to that tree, she was in the near occasion of sin. Let's give a couple examples. You see, for example, there's a guy who really has a weakness in drinking. He likes to drink. He likes to drink. His father drank, his grandfather drank. He likes to drink. Okay, so he goes to the bar, and he's just kind of sitting there with his friends, watching them drink. Is that good? Why? He's in the occasion of sin, right? Everyone is drinking. He's probably not going to be able to resist, right? So he has to keep away from the bar. Another example might be, okay, a person that's a diabetic, okay? He can't be sitting down at Dunkin' Donuts. He can't do that. You know why? Because they shouldn't be eating those donuts with the grease and the sugar on it. He could really get sick, okay? So he shouldn't be sitting there and smelling the donuts and watching everyone else eat the donuts. It's a near occasion of sin. Any of you know the word a kleptomaniac? What that word means? Kleptomaniac means someone that can't help stealing. It's just a sickness. You got to grab onto things. Okay, see, if there's a kleptomaniac, you can't be walking through the aisles of Target, five-finger discount. You're not going to be able to resist. That's an irritation of sin. Okay, your dad goes out. Your dad. He's married to your mom, and he works in an office. And he goes out and has lunch with a single beautiful woman. He can't do that. He can't do that. Why? He's going to fall with that other woman. No, we're just going to talk about how to pray the rosary, and we're going to talk about the Blessed Trinity, we're going to talk about how to read the Bible. Come on. that's an irritation of sin. I mean, your dad's a married man. You're going out with his secretary alone to a restaurant with romantic music in the background. That's a near occasion of sin. It's a near occasion of sin. So the story of Eve, we can apply to all of ourselves. We all have our... If you ever watch Superman, you know what the word kryptonite means? Never heard the word kryptonite? Was Superman strong or weak? Strong, except when he was exposed to kryptonite, then he became weak. Do you know you're kryptonite? So Eve teaches us that we all have to know what is our weak point. Okay, what is the weak point? We got to keep away from danger. Keep away from danger. Right, Paul? It's a good lesson. Good lesson. So, number 5. Is this a lesson to us? Yes or no? Yes. We should try, write it in it, we should try to avoid the near occasion of sin. After school, I'm going to hang out with the cholos. No, I'm not a cholo, but I'll hang out with the cholos. No, I just, you know, kind of shoot the breeze with them, have a nice conversation with the cholos. No, but I'm not a cholo. Sooner or later, you're going to be cholo. So you're hanging out with them. They're going to convince you. That's a near occasion of sin. You got that? Yeah, you're walking on thin ice. You're playing with fire. You're walking on a slippery slope. You're going to fall. Keep away from danger. One example, okay, there's a pit bull there. An angry pit bull. He's on a chain. Well, I think I'll just pet him. He's a nice little pit bull. Nice little pit bull. You end up with one hand less. Your hand becomes a human hamburger. No hand. Yeah, so. Number 6, sin in general. What is found as the essence of sin? In all sin is, right in there, pride and disobedience. Pride and disobedience. We want to do our own thing. Who tempted Eve? Okay, who tempted Eve? Was it really the devil disguised in the form of a serpent or snake? As the devil tricked Eve, so the devil wants to trick us into falling into his trap and sinning. Jesus called the devil. He gave him 2 names in John chapter 8. Jesus called the devil a liar and a murderer. Yeah. From the beginning. That's John chapter 8. You know what happens is this. Okay, Adam and Eve are beneath the tree. And God says, you can't eat from the forbidden fruit. All of a sudden, the serpent starts to speak, the serpent, the devil. And he says, why didn't you eat from the tree? And Eve says, God says, if we eat, we're going to die. And then what does the serpent say? No, you're not going to die. If you eat, your eyes will be open, you'll know good and evil. You'll become like gods. So what was the devil doing lying to Eve? That's Genesis chapter 3. You know what happens right after that? They have 2 kids, 2 boys. And the name is Cain and Abel. And what happens with Cain and Abel? Okay? They both offer their gifts to God. God accepts the gift of Abel, whereas Cain's gift he offered with bad will. And Cain becomes jealous of Abel. He takes him out to the field. He lifts up a club, and he kills his own brother. That's the chapter that follows Adam and Eve. So there you got a lie, and you got murder within the first two, almost the first 2 chapters of the Bible. How one sin leads to another. Can you say something, Paul?
Well, I was going to say, number 6, I like the end of the sentence you wrote in there. I guess part of falling into sin is forgetting about the love and care that God has for us.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, and you know what it really is? We don't always trust God. You know, things don't always go our way. We don't trust God. We should really have trust in God. We should trust God. The other day I was giving a talk on faith, and I was trying to do a little bit of philosophy, the difference between human faith and supernatural faith. Now you guys place your faith in so many different people. Okay, you place your faith that your mother was going to take you here. You place your faith that I was going to show up. You place your faith that Paul was going to show up. I mean, you're making acts of faith almost every 15 minutes. So if you can trust your mom, your dad, or Paul, or myself, or your teacher, shouldn't you trust God?
Put your faith in the car's going to stop at the light when they start.
Right. You ever get in an airplane? You guys haven't gone on an airplane yet? You trust that the pilot isn't blind, right? You have an operation, you trust that the surgeon is not a butcher. You know, he cuts meat. There's a difference, isn't there? No? We make so many different acts of faith on a human level. So that's human faith. If we can trust man, shouldn't we trust God? Isn't God worthy of trust? What do you think? Of course. Yeah, maybe you say, well, we don't see God, but he still exists. Even though you can't see your breath, you can't see the thoughts that go through your mind, but they exist, right? God is invisible, but he exists. Got that? Okay, so he's the liar and the murderer from the beginning. So number 8, what was the sin of Adam and Eve called? This sin is called
original
sin. Because it was the first sin committed in this world. However, the sin of Satan was before original sin. Okay, let's go deeper into the story again of Adam and Eve. After committing the original sin, what did Adam and Eve do? I'm going to play a little bit of charades now. After they committed the original sin, okay, they hid. They hid. Because now they became afraid, they recognized they were naked, and they experienced both two things, fear and shame. Experience both fear and shame. Kind of like us, we commit a sin, we start to experience fear and shame, and we want to hide from our parents or hide from someone else, and we want to hide from God. But you know, everything we do, God sees it. Right? I mean, you can hide from your mom and dad, you can maybe pass the lie detector test, you might be able to even pass that, but you can't hide from God. Impossible. As the psalm says, if you go to the heights of the mountain, God is there. If you go to the depths of the sea, God is there. Even in the darkest moment of the night, God sees you as if it were midday, as the poet says. Everything we do, even your most secret thoughts, God knows what you're thinking. Before you open up your mouth to say a word, God knew exactly what you were going to say. That's the key to avoid sin, is recognizing God's presence wherever we go. As St. Paul says, quoting the Greek poet, in him we live and move and have our being. I like that. In him we live and move and have our being. Yeah. Number 10. How did God react to the original sin of our first parents, Adam and Eve? God still loved Adam and Eve, but in justice due to this sin, God meted out a punishment. Is that true? What do you think? That's true. He still loved them, but he had to give them some type of punishment. All right. I think most of your mothers have more than one child, right? Is that true? More than one? Did you ever ask your mother, Mom, when I was born, did it hurt? You might ask her. Nah, I was chewing gum, listening to the Rolling Stones. Yeah, I listened to the Beatles, chewing gum. It was kind of like a kind of a joy ride, no big deal, no. Didn't really hurt. You came out just like that, and then spanked you on the butt, and let's move on with life, huh? Is that what happened? No, I mean, if you asked your mom, probably said, hey, it wasn't a joy ride. It was pretty painful. Yeah. For example, I have a sister who got 8 children, and her last child she had when she was about 43. Same with my mom. My mom had her at 43. So 43, probably about the age of most of your mothers, no? And she went in there and she couldn't give birth because she wasn't strong enough to get the baby out. You might ask your mom, Mom, when I was born, was it a piece of cake? No? And my little sister's only about 5 feet tall. I mean, she's not strong. I mean, she's pretty strong, but getting that baby out, hey, you have to have a certain amount of strength. So one of the punishments of original sin is we have Eve. She would suffer pain in having children. Is that true? Yes. What about the man? The punishment on the man was a little bit different. I'll explain it by means of a joke. Okay? Can I tell you a joke? Okay. They won't pick it up, but you will. Okay? You know, they'll pick it up maybe next week. Okay? Because you guys are kind of slow to react, right? There's a man who's working in a factory. In a factory. And his boss comes up and says, hey, pal, come here. Come here. Says, you are fired. Get your hat and get your coat and go home. You're fired. The guy said, why am I fired? I haven't done anything. That's why you're fired. Okay? Well, I knew you'd pick it up. They'll pick it up maybe next year. Okay? But it's kind of funny because the guy was fired because he was lazy, he didn't work, right? So one of the effects of original sin is that, he picked it up too, is that we have to work hard. And sometimes the working is pretty tough. Yeah, we end up by sweating and our work doesn't seem to produce that much. As they say in Spanish, ama trabajado mucho, ha ganado muy poco, no? As they say in Espanol. You know that expression in Spanish? We work very hard, but gain very little. Okay, next is this, number 10. What are some of the other consequences of original sin on all humanity, including you and me? Our intellect has become somewhat darkened and harder to learn. I don't know about you guys. I was always a pretty good student. In certain subjects, they're pretty easy, like in English and history and French and languages and philosophy and theology, pretty good. But you know, I always struggle with math. I just don't have a really good math mind, and that's because of original sin. Original sin. Maybe all these guys are scholars. Maybe they're scholars, straight A student, heading toward Harvard, Princeton, Yale, those Ivy League schools on the East Coast. Maybe. Probably not, though. I think we all struggle a little bit with fun. Or for example, ask your parents. Ask your mom to speak a perfect English. Can she do that? When you go to school. Go to the store, you tell them, Mom, don't open up your mouth because when you speak, you're going to embarrass me, right? Is that true? It may be because, you know, she's struggling to learn the English, but it's kind of a different language if you're born in Mexico, right? And so as a result of that, that's a result of original sin, problems with linguistics too. Yeah. How about our will? So our intellect has been partially damaged. Partially. How about our will? Our will has become weakened. We want to do good, but at times we're just too weak. Jesus said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. I can give an example of these guys, okay? Monday morning, your mom wakes you up to go to school. Get up! You gotta go to school! Oh, Mom, thank you for waking me up. I'm so happy to go to school. It's Monday. Ah! So you get out of bed within about 2 minutes. You're on your knees saying your prayers. You're making your bed. You're combing your hair. Is that the way it is? Does your mom have to call you more than once? Maybe more than twice? Maybe more than three times? And finally your mom has to get some cold water. Ah! And that finally gets you out of bed, huh? Only the cold water works, huh? That's original sin. We're kind of lazy at times. We don't want to get out of bed, no? Paul, I wonder if we were to tell these guys next week, what would you prefer? Going to church and kneel down and pray for an hour, or we'll take you to Baskin Robbins. What would you prefer? Uh-oh. Oh, Father, no. I like to pray 2 hours kneeling down, not just one, huh? No, you prefer the Baskin Robbins. I know you guys. But maybe after 2 years of confirmation, Father, at least a half hour kneeling down. Then we'll go to Baskin Robbins, okay? This is original sin. We incline to be gluttonous and lazy. We don't want to get up. We want to sleep in. We want to yawn a little bit, right? I saw you. This is original sin. And emotions. Our emotions and passions are well-ordered. We never become overly sad, nor fearful, nor discouraged, nor have a lack of peace in our hearts. Is that true or false? Hello? That's false. Last I heard that like 20% of the people who live in this country take pills to cope with depression. Pills to cope with depression. Depression. People, that's an emotional problem, right? Depression, they got to take these pills to kind of get them out of the dumps, no? Others have bipolar. Some have schizophrenia. Some have got these phobias. These are called emotional problems. This came as a result of original sin. The opposite would be someone like John Lyons, equanimity, very even-tempered. No, did you know him?
Yes.
Very even-tempered, very peaceful, calm. Yeah, very good man.
Yeah.
Okay, then the bodily health. So all of us, we never get sick. You guys have never gotten sick yet in your life, huh? Not yet. You've never gotten sick in your whole life, right? You're the picture of health, right? No, we all get sick. So sickness came as a result of original sin. And when you get older, you end up going to the doctor almost every week, no? Probably happened to your father. His father was 90s, and my father was in the late 80s. And if I have to go to the doctor almost every week, my father would say, when you get older, your body falls apart one piece at a time, he used to say. Good sense of humor, no? So as a result of original sin, our bodily health is weaker. Do any of you have any grandparents? Your grandparents' health probably not really has some problems probably with the health, probably your grandparents, right? How about tension in wars? Okay, there's never been any wars in the world from the beginning of humanity, right? Is that true? I think they say more than 95% of world history, there's always been some wars. Look in Syria now, look in Iraq, look in Afghanistan. You know who's in Afghanistan now? My nephew. He's an officer of the American Army. And he's the head of a platoon of helicopter officers in Afghanistan. It's a tough place. No? And 2 days ago, his wife had his third baby. There he is in Afghanistan. No? That's kind of tough. No? So wars. And finally, death. Death has come as a result of sin and that of original sin. So one day, so maybe one of us here one day will never die. Those are the biggest muscles, the best lungs, probably not die. Now, we're all going to die one day, sooner or later, right? As they say, there's a Gallup poll that came out a couple years ago that said that 100% of the people living today one day will die. Do you agree with that? I think it's a pretty good statistic, do you think? All right, next. God can bring good out of evil? Yes? Yes or no? Yes, due to original sin, God sent His Son Jesus to the world to teach us how to live, how to obey, how to love, and how to die. Jesus came to die for us on the cross, rise 3 days later, and to open up the gates of heaven for us. What does St. Augustine say about original sin? This great saint, St. Augustine, says, "Oh, happy fault, oh, happy fault that brought us Jesus the Savior." This happy fault is, of course, original sin. What is Catholic anthropology? Do any of you know what biology means? Biologia? You're an expert in Greek. What do you think it means? Bios means life. Logia, study. Biology means the study of life. Do you know what theology means? Theo, logos, the study of God. How about philosophy? Sophia means wisdom, the study of wisdom. How about cosmetologia? The study of the face, huh? Got you there. All right. So that curveball at them. So anthropology means the study of man. That's what it means, anthropology. Catholic anthropology teaches us this. Due to original sin, our human nature has been impaired. Write this in there. It's been partially damaged. You got that? Partially damaged. Protestants say totally corrupt, Paul. Totally corrupt. Lutheranism. But we believe it's partially damaged our human nature. We have a strong pull or tendency toward evil or sin. The example I give is, do you know what a tug of war is? What's a tug of war? You've heard it, but you can't explain, huh? What?
Like two people on the side pull.
Okay, right. So you got a rope here, right? You got maybe five guys on this side of the rope, and you got five other guys on this side of the rope. In the middle is a mud puddle with an alligator, right? Or a crocodile, right? That'd be good, right? It may make it work even harder to win it, right? So our spiritual life is kind of like a tug of war. And it means that we have this strong pull or tendency toward evil or sin. St. Thomas calls this, right in there, it's called concupiscence. However, the human person is basically good. Protestants see human nature as basically evil and corrupt. Okay, can we get rid of original sin? Can we get rid of original sin? Not sure. What do you think? How? We got it. Yes. So, yes, and this is done through the first sacrament we receive. It's called the sacrament of baptism. You guys are baptized. You don't have original sin. But you have the effects of it that we've been talking about. You no longer have original sin, but you still have the effects. Darkening of the intellect, the weakening of the will, we can get sick, when they were going to die, emotional disorder. We still have that to a limited degree. But we don't have original sin once you're baptized. And once you're baptized, you're not baptized again. Sometimes Catholics go on to get baptized in the pool by the Protestants. That's wrong. In the pool by the Jehovah's Witnesses. That's wrong. That's actually a serious sin. You're renouncing your faith for a false faith. That's wrong. Okay. Is there anyone born without original sin? Is anyone in the world ever born without original sin? What do you think? What do you think? No? What do you think? You're right, yes. And there were, how many people are born without original sin? Think about your Catholic faith. Who are the two greatest in our Catholic faith? Jesus and Mary. What? Okay, good. You got it. Okay. So there are two. Your guardian angel told you, huh? So there were two that were conceived and born without original sin. And they did not suffer its effect. Yes?
Including Adam and Eve.
Okay, good. Well, it's true. Adam and Eve were not born with original sin. They actually committed it. That's a good theological distinction worthy of note. Yeah. Good. Okay, who are they? Okay, so the first would be Jesus, write it in there. Jesus being God never had sin. He was perfect. Jesus is the Son of God made man. Then who's the next? Mary, right? All right, Mary. Mary, she never had original sin. This privilege is called her. We celebrate the 8th of December. What is this privilege that Mary never had any original sin? You're a theologian in disguise. What would it be? You're faking ignorance so that he won't feel bad. Okay? It's called the Immaculate Conception. Okay? You know it. I think with the tip of your tongue just about to come out. Right, Josue? Si, Padre. Okay, Immaculate Conception. It is a very good habit to wear the medal in honor of Mary called the Miraculous Medal, or the Medal of the Immaculate Conception. Buy it and wear it. Any of you have that medal? Your mom has a medal around her neck? It's called the Miraculous Medal. Good to have it. If you want it, we can get you one. Free of charge. Okay? Paul is wearing his. No? Now, for many years, Paul, my father wore the miraculous medal. And he died with the miraculous medal. You know who gave him that miraculous medal? My father, Mother Teresa. Yeah. The day after I was ordained. How about that? Yeah. So when I did his funeral mass, there he was. He had the miraculous medal that was given to him by Mother Teresa of Calcutta. And he treasured that. He wore that for a good almost 30 years. He treasured it. No, there was a living saint that actually gave him that miraculous medal. And it was tarnished, kind of rusty. You have it for 30 years, something's going to happen. No? But he wouldn't part from that. Okay. How did this come about? In the moment of Mary's conception in the womb of her mother, any of you know the grandparents of Jesus, which would be the mother of Mary, their names? Give you a hint, there's a freeway, the 5 freeway, if you head south, they call it what freeway? You ever driving the 5 freeway with your mom and dad? Heading toward Orange County? Did you ever hear of Santana? You ever hear of Santana? Okay, so that's Spanish now, by the way. The name of the mother of Mary was Saint Anne. Saint Anne. And the hubby, San Joaquin, so we have the San Joaquin Valley, so the California honored these two people in a very special way. So right in there, God preserved Mary from the stain of original sin. Write that in there. God preserved Mary from the stain of original sin. The English poet exclaimed, with reference to the Immaculate Conception, Mary is our own human nature's solitary boast. William Wordsworth. A prayer that we can say to conclude the topic of original sin, and it's this. They already wrote it in. It's, O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee. Be good to say that maybe 3 times, Paul. What do you think? We'll say the Hail Mary. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.